The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is the 28th of June, 2016. Can you believe we're halfway through the year? 4th of July almost. And we're going to talk about a couple things today, but before we get in, go out to www.fiorellobarbellco.com. Download our free ebook, The Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. Just leave your email address, I promise you, no spam. Also, the two biggest products we got, Strength Times Power Equals Success and the Winner's Circle. If you like what we talk about here on the show, if you like how we define strength, build strength, whatever it is, both of them got it. And I'll work with anyone. You can contact me at Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. You know, it's the same thing. There's no easy ways to do this stuff. But the nice thing is, with the talent that is on this show, my God, if you can't get big, ripped, stronger, more enduring, there's nobody out there like us. And I've been called things from the old style of Perry Rader's Iron Man to Hard Gainer magazine to, you know, training outdoors, what we do, training in the trenches, training in the sand pit. And I appreciate all that, believe me. And we're only getting bigger and better. So stay tuned. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Check that out. Also, motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. Today, in about 2 minutes, we're going to bring in our good friend John Bruni. This guy's all over the place. He's an equipment manufacturer, obviously. He's a minister, the whole deal. I mean, this guy has got a pedigree on him like most people would dream about. But the thing is, hard work. Hard work. There's no other, you know, this guy's obviously got talent, lots of strength. But he'll tell you, I'm sure, this didn't come to him like in a week. This is a lifelong journey you live. This is your DNA. So it's things like that. But go out there, look at John's programs we've done. They are outstanding. The last one we did, it was last month. It was called Big Strong Arms. It's not a bodybuilding pump routine, believe me. And you're going to hear about a lot of obscure movements he does, like all of us here, that most people couldn't even fathom. So check that out. Check out all the big names out there. Well, today, like I said, I have John on here, and I want to give you a little bit about John. He's a strongman, author, motivational speaker, pastor, and he writes for Milo Magazine. And that's going to be a little bit of a topic we're going to talk about. And obviously, he's made some changes to the stuff he's done. And this is what I want to get out, because he writes exceptional articles. And the thing with him, I like, he doesn't labor the point. I mean, he might write three and a half pages, but it's like this show here. There's so much in it that you got to go back and either listen to it or reread it. I've read that article in the last week, I think, four times. Because I'm just reading and saying, okay, what's he giving me here? What's he telling me here? Real interesting stuff. Those are the pros out there. So before I bring John in, if you want to go out and see what we're talking about today, it's March 2009, volume 16, number 4, and it's John's usual articles called Foundations, 4D Training, Deadlifts, Dips, Dumbbells, and Dowsing. John? Welcome back, brother. Good to hear from you and see you. I can't see you, but I know what you look like. But welcome back to the show, sir.
Well, thanks for having me. I think it's going to be an awesome show today. We've got just a great topic to discover together, to kind of unpack. And it's going to be very primal and powerful at the same time.
Hell yeah. Give everybody, obviously, your websites, anything that's coming up, and we'll start right into the show.
Well, we've got something really big coming up, but I can't talk about it. But you'll know in July. But there's some great things coming up. Of course, you can follow me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, just John Bruni on Facebook, and at Press the Limit on Twitter. Also, pressingthelimits.com and submitstrength.com are my websites. and there's lots of free info, all kinds of stuff on there. We want to connect with you and help you in any way that we can. So that's my mission.
Yeah, and I think that's a great thing, because now more than ever, we need to speak to each other. You want to text, you want to do this and that, but you know something? The real quality of a person is somebody that can sit there and look you in the eyes and talk to you about things. And we're losing this more and more in this culture now. And I like you, this is why I'm doing this. I want to hear, even though I can't be with you, I am with you in spirit, so to speak, because I am talking to you and you're talking back to me and everybody's listening in. It's a super thing. Well, obviously you write some smoking material. We know that. Now, I was very interested with the deadlifts, dips, dumbbells, and dowsing, because I'll tell you why. And we talked about this, maybe it was on the last show, how a lot of these super old school lifts have disappeared. And walk in any gym, I don't even care if it's a hardcore gym, yeah, you're going to see deadlifting because there's a lot of power lifters in there. But how many people are you seeing doing dips? And how many people are cleaning a dumbbell or doing flat benches with them? I know that might be more prevalent because people love the flat bench, but let's face it, the bar to me is going to be an easier task, and I don't care what the weight is. I mean, weight's weight, I know they'll say, but you got to pull up, so let's just say a pair of hundreds in each hand, and get back, if there's nobody handing them to you, line yourself and press them. Now, that's a strongman feat right there. And obviously, dowsing is something I've read with you and John Brookfield, which I am a big proponent of. So is Eric Gutman. So let's talk about those four things right off the get-go and everything. And I'm sure you've changed some of the stuff you've done with it. But obviously, the deadlift you feel for this Foundations article is basically, we'll use your word, the foundation. Everything is going to flow off that. So let's start with that, John.
Well, as you know, if you follow my writings, I always believe that you have to have one major lift that produces your growth hormone and your testosterone, all your hormone production. So in most of my training programs, you always see some form or version of a deadlift or an extremely heavy clean or a squat, and all the different variations of those. I mean, the sky is endless, with the possibilities of all each of those categories. But you have to have that foundational compound movement if you want good hormone production. So that's kind of the basis. And in that article, we talk about the importance of deadlifts, and I want to give a couple variations if I can.
Sure.
One of the things that we have at Submit Strength is we have dumbbells that go up to 200 pounds. They're huge.
Awesome.
Cast iron. They are steel dumbbells. So imagine a 200-pound dumbbell. And one of the things I like to do is I like to try and put some kind of thick grip on that. And whether there's all kinds of different tools. That's what I'm trying to say is, there's grip force. You can find them all out there. But doing the one-handed deadlift with at least 200 pounds will increase your regular deadlift. Now, I think in that article I was talking about the regular barbell deadlift.
Yeah, you were.
But one of the variations I like to do from time to time is doing that one-arm deadlift in place of the two-arm deadlift. And what I like to do that is, first of all, the range of motion from a dumbbell, that's all the way down to your ankles, basically.
Correct. Yep.
So what I like to do is, even if you use it for a warm-up, so you're going to do some 200-pound one-arm deadlifts, then you're going to go over to the main bar, and it's going to feel like cake. 500 pounds is going to feel like cake because you have much more range of motion. I think at some point we always need to be stretching our range of motion or our limits. So find different variations. And again, 200 pounds doesn't sound heavy to a lot of people, but when you put a thick handle on there and you're pulling that from the floor, it is,
Hey, John, not to interrupt you, but this is a thing that my pet peeve, and I want to see what you think. When you said 200 pounds isn't heavy with a thick dumbbell, you and I both know the majority of people, unless there's some Superman heavyweight or you got a guy like Zvickis or these guys, most people aren't handling even a 200-pound dumbbell. But now you throw a thick handle on it, 2-inch handle, 2 1/4, whatever it is, that's going to be almost impossible because we know the most people's wrists are not strong enough. It's going to give you a twist, and you're going to drop that dumbbell or not get it off the floor. And I totally agree with you with the dumbbell training, because I think, you know, that reminds me of, like, Herman Gorner, you know, stuff like that. And a lot of older athletes did that too. You know, they realized the greatness of the dumbbell, you know, dumbbell rows, anything like that. They changed the dynamics of a straight bar when you go to it. And one thing I like, when you're talking about dumbbells, one thing I can't stand is these people saying, well, I did this, and you watch them do it, and everything's a cheat. Now, look, if it gets real heavy, I know you got to do a little pull with it. I've done it. I'm not adverse to that. But what I'm saying is, when something is not out of the realm, you do it strict, you know, and tense the body and get everything into it. And it's the same way, like, when we're talking about rows. I think we hit this last time. You know, I see guys do rows, and they're not rows, at least not the way I would do them. It looks more like a half deadlift. Now, why do you have to do a 500-pound row when maybe the most you could do would be a nice, clean, strict 280? Where's the advantage in doing that? And they're going to say, well, you know, you jerk it up like that, you're hitting more muscle. Maybe, but I also think you're taking a shot at really hurting yourself. And we know a lot of people out there have glass backs, and once you screw that up, then you got trouble. So I just wanted to add that, because I just felt that that's a pet peeve of mine. I can't stand this lack of, not doing a movement right. You know, I mean, maybe you get away with it for a while, but sooner or later it's going to claim you. So, finish what you're saying. I didn't mean to jump on you, but also comment on that, you know, pro or con.
Yeah, well, let's definitely pro on doing it strict, and let's go even deeper. First, I want to cover a couple of things. First, when I'm talking about thick-handled dumbbells, obviously, if you're lifting 200 pounds, you're not putting a 2.5-inch thing on there. You know,
right, exactly.
The inch dumbbell, you know, is only 172 pounds, so there's no way. I want people to understand it's a progressive thing. One of the great things, and I'm going to give this to you in a nutshell, you can, obviously, if you're doing it slow, you're going to get a 2-for-1. You're going to get the hip mobility from having to get down there, and that's what I'm saying, is most people have glass backs because their hips don't function correctly. And that's what I like about doing some of these odd exercises, is it's going to force you to get some hip mobility to get down, to grasp the dumbbell, and why you have to perform it slow, and here's why the thickness helps. You can't jerk a thick handle, you know, other than an inch off the ground. You're going to have to tense every part of the body, and what I like is that creates that hyper-irradiation all the way from the fingers up to the shoulders down there. Then you get the hip mobility, you lock your feet into the ground, you slowly lift that thing up. I'm telling you what, you're going to have like an intense neurological boost, and your nervous system is going to be firing on all cylinders, and that's exactly what you want. And
yep.
People can start out this way, and here's one of the techniques I used in my earliest days. Okay, you can't afford thick handles, whatever. Okay, what I started out doing is the progressive thing, and it kind of goes back to what Milo is named after, is in my beginning, I couldn't afford all the equipment. I mean, I was just poor, you know, not poor, but I didn't have the extra money to buy the specialty stuff. First married and just getting started. And so what I used to do is take duct tape and then cover it with athletic tape, and I would make one roll every week.
Yep.
So it was the whole Milo progression, and by the end of that, man, I had some 3-inch dumbbells that I was working, 3-inch handles on there. But it was progressive, and it helped my grip strength, you know, go with that. So, you know, here I had these dumbbells I was using for curling, but they were – over time getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, you got to start somewhere. So some people at home, you know, you might want to start with a 150 pound dumbbell or a 100 pound dumbbell and putting an inch and a half grip on there or 2-inch and work up. But the key is, don't cheat the movement. You know, there's a time and place for cheating, but 99% of the time it's not in lifting. Like I said, there's a time and place on certain lifts, but when it comes to the deadlift, it's definitely not something you want to cheat. You might as well just do a kettlebell swing or that kind of movement if you're going to cheat it.
Right, exactly. Obviously, the deadlift was the primer. Now, we're getting, here's another movement once again that has been kind of bastardized or just left out in the cold, and that's the dip. I mean, we know guys like Marvin Eater that could dip with body weight over 400 pounds, you know, weighing, I think his max he ever weighed was maybe 220, but I think at the time when he did that, he was around 200 pounds, which is incredible, I mean, to do that. But why did, I mean, John, obviously you know the value of things that are not in, so to speak, that have been kind of cast out or people have never been educated about this. Why the dips? I mean, and we know the dip is called the upper body squat, and for anybody that doesn't, it's been called that for a long time. But why the dips?
You know, dips are essential, and here's what I feel about dips is anything that's hard anymore, people want to throw it out.
Yeah.
It's a difficult exercise. You know, we want to be these people who we make exercise easy. And that's not what it's all about. The harder the exercise, the better it is for you. The more difficult the drill, the more benefit you're going to get out of it. And one of the reasons I think that the dip has fallen out of favor is there's so many people who do it incorrectly that they are injured. I know with my shoulder, I actually had a shoulder injury, and it took me a while to rehab it, but I still was doing dips as just the stretch movement. I wasn't loading them. Like I do today. And, you know, a lot of times, even when we do a bench press workout, once in a while, we'll still load the dips at the end of that workout just to get that feeling of the stretch. But during the week, I like to do tons of dips all throughout the week. I just think it's a great movement. And when you can load it, you are getting just the most amazing upper body power. I would say over the course of my career, when I took the most time to emphasize heavy dips, and there was a season where, because again, you go through different movements, you know, you become an expert in a movement, you kind of change, and you go, weightlifting and the iron game is kind of a seasonal thing, you know, you might focus on the bench for a season, even though you're doing everything else, still, the focus is here. You might be focusing on the deadlift to get those numbers up, even though you're still doing all your other movements. There was a season when I was really just repping out the dip, and it was part of this article right here. And I was loading it with insane weights, you know, doing lockouts, doing partials, and then doing fulls. And I can tell you that every other upper body movement, the numbers went through the charts, even though I wasn't focusing on them.
Okay.
My bench went up, everything went up. My overhead press skyrocketed. That's when I was really focused on my shows. I used to take a 135-pound kettlebell. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of weight, but on a kettlebell it is, and I used to rep that thing out for max reps in my shows as one of the feats of strength. And that thing became so light after doing heavy dips. I mean, you just cannot do it. Handstand push-ups went up. And, you know, that's a lot of people are into handstands today, but it's awful hard to load a handstand. And what I love about the dip is, except for stimulating the lymphatic system like you do in handstand push-ups, everything else, you get all the benefits of that handstand push-up and more because you can load it. A lot of people can't get into a handstand. They don't know how to kick up or they don't know how to wall walk. Well, here's a great thing. Start doing dips. Learn to do it correctly and then load it. And, dude, you're going to become a monster.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Keep
and you know,
you know, that's the thing. A lot of people don't know how to load correctly. They have bad form, and they say, well, dips, they hurt me. Well, they hurt you because you have bad form most of the time. You know.
Yeah, and you know what I did here? I mean, I've had a lot of the shoulder stuff too, but it feels like it's just about there. What I did two things here. I never liked the dip bars in gyms because if you had weight around your waist, and I used to bring my own toe chain to load it, you'd always have to step up on something and get your hands on the metal and start dipping. I never liked that, especially when you're using a heavy weight, because number one, you'd pinch things maybe that you didn't want to. Number two, it was dangerous, I thought, because if anything ever happened and you had to get off something quick, you know, it could be a problem. So what we did here was we took 4x4s and lagged them right into the cement wall and built a very small dipping station like that. And basically, no matter what you got around you or you're doing body weight, you walk right into it. It's right there. There's no stepping up on anything. And you get on these things and you do your dips. Now, I did it for two reasons. Number one, safety. And if anybody's thinking out there, what would a 4x4 piece of big lumber do to your grip? Well, there you go. You got your grip worked for the day. You got the hands. You got everything working. And you got something very safe where if you had a problem, all you do is step down and walk out. So I thought that was a good way to do that. We also built the same type of thing outside where I had those 6x6s lagged in to the garage wall and under the frost line, because that's where we do our Hoosa Steel partials outside. Same way with our one-arm dumbbell bench pressing to keep the pectoral area nice and strong when you go to lift those stones, because they have a tendency to like to pull forward on you, and you sure as hell don't want anything getting ripped in that insertion. And then obviously there's just various little pieces there we can play with. So I love dips. I think dips are another underrated, but like you said, a very hard-working movement that most people don't want to get into. And, of course, all the horror stories we hear about that. But, you know, I'll shift it back to you, John, but, you know, let's face it. Every movement we do has got a horror story or two to it. And I don't know. I think benching's a great thing, but I think laying on your back's a hell of a lot easier. And when you got to stand up with 100 pounds wrapped around your waist or more, and get your ass up on a pair of dip bars, balance your body, and knock off how many reps you're going to do. Once again, it's a pure strength movement. So back to you, man.
Well, the shoulder stability and the tricep strength and the stretching of the fascia, what I like is when you actually do it correctly,
yep.
I believe that, you know, you get a nice stretch of the fascia in the tricep area. You know,
yep.
So much of our movement, you know, we don't get that stretching component of it. And I think that that's just a great movement that will stretch those muscles, stretch those fibers, and allow for more growth. Now, I'm not a bodybuilder by any stretch, but I think how many times we don't put these stretching weighted, I think Pavel used to call it loaded stretching, even though that was an actual mobility workout program. But we don't load our stretches enough to get benefit. And that's what I love about it. And same thing with the dumbbell deadlift. And I love a two-hander. And I said I usually would alternate, you know, or use the one hand as a warm-up, because you got to do something that, you know, primes that hormonal system. But on all these exercises, you're getting kind of the two-for-one with it. When you use dumbbells, which we'll get in more in a moment too, you're getting that stretching component. With the deadlift, we talked about the hip mobility, if you do it low enough. Or if you're doing two-handed deadlifts, do them on plates so that you have to get that little stretch component. When you do the dip, that tricep and your chest, depending on which area you move to, depending on your hand positioning and bar positioning, all those different things, you can really stretch some of that fascia and allow some things to grow there. Especially if you even massage it in between sets, you know, doing some kind of put a lacrosse ball or some kind of weighted bar on there and stretch the tar out of that thing, then you're creating the chasm for growth there is greater. And I love that. We need to be about growing. New fibers, fresh blood, all that stuff happens when we do some of these old school exercises.
Yep, totally. Flat dumbbell benches. My feeling on that, I do them all outside in the cable apparatus we built. I just basically discovered that. Obviously, I believe in close grips too for stone carrying. The pecs definitely play a big part in it. But as I told you on a few shows back, and I just said, John, was I felt, especially this last time in Iceland, and I watch a lot of people lift this thing, and this thing is so damn big and heavy that it can not only be unwielding, as we know, but it can pull you forward. And, I mean, you have to, when you go to lift this thing, not only straddle this thing, you know, right in between your feet, but you have to really have – it's very hard. There are no handholds, nothing to really dig your fingers in. There might be a few little gaps here and there, but obviously, you know, we've talked about forearms. I mean, you better have a set of forearms on you because you're going to have to squeeze that thing like nothing you've ever done before. But what I did notice, and I noticed with myself, if you're not locked in there solid, this thing will give you a pull between the front pec and the shoulder insertion like nothing you've ever felt. That could end up costing you your lift, because if you tear something or pull something, you're not going to be able to do it. So my idea is I always do one arm flat 2-inch dumbbell presses, and I'll tell you why I use a thicker bar, because I use this thing mainly just to keep everything very sound and strong. I'm not looking to press a 200-pound dumbbell, you know, flat-wise. That's not my mission with it. My mission is to stay relatively heavy with it, but use it as something that's going to really help the process of what you're doing. So tell me, what benefit do you feel that the dumbbell bench press has, say, over the Olympic bar bench press?
Well, right now what I do is I lift a group of guys, my training partners, we really focus on the bench press itself with the straight. But what I do is on the off days, the great Marty Gallagher, who I'm sure you know who that is.
Yes, sir.
He has got me on a series, and then it's something I've always done, but not to the extent that he has pushed me on it. He calls it my lifting yoga. And okay. For healing of my shoulders. Now, we didn't do all this to the extent when I wrote this article. Marty's really got me rest, pause, stretching with the dumbbell bench press.
So
I'll take the dumbbells or the cross core. Sometimes I'll do it with the cross core device. But mostly with the dumbbells, I'll take, you know, these heavy dumbbells, maybe a pair of hundreds. But he even had me do it probably lighter than that. But I love this for strength. Bring it down and let that thing stretch you out. You know, and as I've said, and I've always thought this is amazing, it's a pain to get dumbbells up. You know, you pick it up, you put them on the thighs, you roll back, your back cracks all the way through.
Yep.
You know, you're rolling back in the bench. And then what we'll have to do is he'll press them out, bring it down, and let it pause and stretch.
Yep.
And sometimes I hold it for, you know, as long as I can and then have to press out of that.
Yeah.
That goes crazy strength because you're having to press it out of a regular stretch position, something you would never do. So you do that on a regular basis. When the bench press day comes back around, the heavy bench day, it feels like cake because, again, you've already worked that reserve part of the body that's not normally getting worked. So when you stop right at the chest with the bar, it feels like cake because you've already worked well beyond that. So your body, mentally, physically, your nervous system says, hey, you can go further and you're not. I can release all this strength. You're in a safe position. Definitely.
Go ahead. Well, you know what I admire about that, because I do the same thing with the dumbbell with the hanging there, is this. It puts a ton of energy into that muscle, man. And people don't realize it's like – you're storing that, what you're just doing, and like you made the point, which hits the mark right there. Then you switch off and you go to your regular bench night, and all that power is right there. And it's like nothing feels better when you can press something or push it, whatever you're doing. And everybody's experienced this, and if you haven't, I would tell you to try it. And I'll get right back to you, John. And it's like, you go to grab something, man, and before you even grab it, you know you've got it. It's like you can. It's an innate feeling that is nothing like. It's hard to describe. It's like what we do, and we go out and do the stretch, and we load that musculature up. You know, that's the thing. Then you go and you do a regular bench press, and all that loading is there, and it's like you fire that thing off you, and you're like, I got to go check the weights to make sure they're loaded right, because honest to God, it feels like a warm-up. Would that be a great way to sum it up?
Absolutely. And there, the mental aspect of that, the mental freshness that comes from that, you just cannot beat it. And again, I think it comes back to, I was listening to or watching a DVD of Steve Maxwell the other day.
Yep.
One of the great, great trainers. And he was talking about joint mobility, and he was talking about how the Russians used to talk about putting yourself in a poisonous situation, a poisonous position, and, you know, doing some training in things that are actually very dangerous or precarious positions for the body. That's how you get stronger. That's how you stretch your limits a little bit. You know, most of the stuff, you know, we do, people say, oh, is that dangerous? Yeah. So is driving in your car, so is whatever, and so is getting injured because you've never put your body in that position.
Exactly.
And we're all going to get twisted and turned at some time. If you haven't trained in those positions, that was one of the greatest lessons of my life. When I really injured my back, I was doing doing harness lifting, and well over 1,000 pounds. I mean, it was like crazy amount of weight. The bar, the chain lift bar, couldn't even handle any more weight. It was all that immense. So I'm doing these chain lift squats, and you know they're not full on, but they're more than a quarter, and just repping these things out. High reps, and I twisted and turned my back. And of course, I had this tremendous injury. It brought me down to the floor. I got unchained. I still went up that night and coached a group of athletes, but I coached from laying down on my stomach, couldn't move. And my wife finally forced me to go to the hospital and get shots and all this other stuff. And it was a great lesson to learn that you've got to put your body into some crazy positions weighted first, because you're going to pay for it later when you're something bad happens. And since then, I have really tried to bulletproof my body from every angle. I mean, I do some weird, funky lifts, but it has made me more healthy. I feel better. I have more energy, you know. For a big guy, I'm out doing sprints. You know, most guys half my size, they can't handle sprints. You know, their joints can't take it. You know, you've got to bulletproof your body. And that's what these things do. When you're deadlifting, you're using dumbbells, you are giving your body that little bit of inoculative medicine, that prescriptive medicine. And what I tell people all the time is, you know, how do you get vaccinated for a disease?
Exactly.
And it gets a little bit of the disease. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, another big thing, John, you're hitting on, too, is, you know, everybody likes to talk about repetitive stress, repetitive injuries from doing the same thing over and over. Whether you believe in that or not, I'm kind of mixed with a lot of that. But I do believe, you know, we've seen a lot of examples of it. But what you're doing here, too, is you're throwing your body off where it's used to doing a pattern of things. Now you're introducing the dumbbells, you know, now you're introducing dips, and you're still doing the foundational stuff as you're talking about, but you are bulletproofing your body and you are bulletproofing your mind. And that's the thing, because if you can hit your body at all angles, you know, we love head to toe, obviously, here. I mean, it's nothing but, you know, no one can guarantee we're all going to have injuries, tears. It happens. That's part of what we do. I mean, it's a very dangerous, explosive game that we do here, and it's very serious stuff. But if you had an injury, you'll learn what you got to do. But if you haven't, there's a good chance you can learn right from here what we're talking about, of things to do that are going to create an atmosphere where, hey, you know what, I just did this and I feel better than ever. Why? Because I strengthened areas that I've never strengthened before. That's the key to not only your strength, your endurance, and your longevity. So take it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, everything in that particular workout that we're describing here, the 4D, one of the things that in that is work with the Bulgarian bag. So we're working with all the angles. And I would do that kind of as a finisher. You know, so you're getting all the angles of the body working. If you can't have a Bulgarian bag, work with a mace or something. A firm believer, we talked about repetitive stress. Yeah, we are repeating basic movement patterns, but you should learn to get into all aspects of that. Because, you know, people talk about repetitive stress. Well, you have repetitive stress from sitting on your butt all day, too.
Absolutely. Know? Yeah.
But one of the things you can do to combat that is to hit things from all angles. And that's what I love about dumbbells. You know, you can do swings out to the side, sideways swings, things that people, they never even try. Most people never even try lateral movements or any of these things. You know,
no, but you know what, John, too?
Foundation, but you can build on that.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, too, dumbbells, like all the stuff you're talking about, is really a lost art. It really is. If you're going to see most people when they do dumbbell work, obviously it's going to be bench stuff, but you don't even see much of that anymore. And most gyms, if they have them, you're lucky if they go to 100 pounds. Now, the days of the 150s or more of that in the old school gyms are long gone. And we're on the this is something that's always been very interesting for me. I've done it. I still do it. And this is all part of the 4Ds, dousing. Lay it on us. Give us a little explanation. I know you and John Brookfield, you got a lot of that with him and stuff. But for the people out in the, in our family here, you know, just give a little bit about dousing and the benefits of it, if you would, please.
Well, John Brookfield, my mentor years and years ago, introduced me to this concept. And then I started to do just tons and tons of research on how healthy this actual practice is. And what you want to do is you start out in, you know, October. It depends. You have to live in a cold area to get some of the benefits, or you can do option two, which I'm going to talk about, which is usually more practical during the year. But what you're going to do is you're going to take, and I used to take two giant buckets, you know, not just little buckets, 5 gallon buckets or bigger, fill them with cold water, and I would go stand out in the snow and slowly pour that water from the top of my head to the toes of my feet. My wife has some great, great pictures of me doing that in terrible freezing conditions. What immediately happens is it skyrockets your body temperature off the charts and starts to kill off germs and viruses that are in the body. It also makes you mentally tough, because one of the things that you're doing is when you are having this water come, you want to mentally embrace the pain, not try and fight it. You're just saying, I'm going to embrace this water coming over me, and it flushes you out. It does all kinds of things with your circulatory system, and it makes your nervous system so strong. It does, you know, so you're getting mental circulatory benefits. You are, you know, boosting your immune system and building mental toughness all at the same time. But the key is, if you're going to do it outdoors, start like in October so that your body accustoms to it. Last year, I spent far more time just doing this in the shower. And what I would do is I would get the shower as hot as it possibly could get. And because I wasn't always in a place where you could just douse so easily or do any of that. And then turn it on ice cold water and add the shock to the system for as long as I could go, maybe 5 or 10 minute ice cold shower.
Yep.
The benefits are unbelievable, and that will give you a lot of the same benefits of dousing. If you get your body temperature real hot before and then switch it immediately to ice cold. Now, I mean, I'm not talking lukewarm. It has to be ice cold water. And, of course, again, just I'm not a doctor. I know a lot of people think it's dangerous and they're going to give themselves a heart attack or too much of a shock to the system. You know, if that's the camp that you're in, don't try it.
Right.
But, for the rest of us, I think it's hardcore and it is awesome.
Yeah, and you know something, for people that are a little nervous about it, I mean, you can just gradually turn it down. I mean, if you want to try it, you know, you don't have to go ice cold. You know, go, you know, temper it to what you can take, and every day temper it more and more, and eventually you're going to have that hot water off and you're going to be under that ice cold water. That's the thing, you know, everybody's afraid of this, that, and the other thing, but it's like, I can tell you from experience, there's a whole new level going on with you when you're doing that. And, you know, I remember reading an old article, I don't know, it might have been in a real early issue of Milo, and it might have been in Russia, I'm not sure, but I remember the guy, one of the guys, I think it was too, I think like they dug a big hole where there was a river. And they'd go and stand in that stuff, man. And I'm talking down to just a very small pair of shorts or a bathing suit. Then they'd get out to finish themselves off and roll in the snow until they couldn't roll anymore. That's pretty intense shit, man. I mean, that's very intense. So, you know, great stuff, but obviously if you're not accustomed to it, you might want to just go gradual with it, you know?
it's funny because now you see all the people going for cryogenic recovery. And,
yeah.
And here's the funny thing. Its roots is in the old-time strongman. That's
yeah.
What's so funny is everything that's new has roots in the old school.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, John, you and I both know there's some pretty brilliant minds out there, and maybe they come up with some things, but really – just about everything we've seen or we're doing has been done before, whether it was 20 years ago, 150 years ago. There were some very, you know what I think more than anything, there were some very sharp, intuitive minds that listened to their innate intelligence inside, and they weren't afraid to try things. See, we've built a community, a world on fear now. Fear can be your friend, obviously. It will warn you of things that maybe you can't deal with right now, and you get away from it. That can be the smartest thing you'll ever do. But when you're built on a fear-based society, which we are now, of course everyone's going to say, well, don't lift stones because you'll tear an arm. Don't lift weights because I love hearing you're muscle bound. You know something? It'll take you a lifetime, most people, to even put muscle on. I just laugh at that. So as we say on this show and everything else, there's always multiple don'ts, ifs, that's what's – well, you know what? At some point, you have to, you know, stand up straight and decide what you're going to do. Are you going to – you know, as I always say, are you going to live extraordinary or are you going to live a mediocre life? That's up to you. But this stuff here with the cold water, you know, everybody's always like, recovery, recovery. All right, you know what the best thing to do is here? Douse yourself. Make sure you'll be nice and clean then. Get in your room, make sure it's nice and dark, go to bed. You want to know recovery? Sleep, cold water. Go ahead, take it.
Yeah, you know, I'm remembering back even, well, first of all, I always say, you know, as Solomon said, it's true. There's nothing new under the sun. And
right.
My job
right.
to take old things and present them in a new and fresh way. But certainly
yeah.
I can't ever take credit for any of the things because I always say, you know, all I'm doing is building upon a foundation that somebody else sacrificed for. But
hey, tell me this, though, all right? Because I know you're a very enthusiastic guy. Tell me this, honestly. Is this stuff fun or what? Seriously, and I know that's a basic question. But, I mean, what the hell else? I mean, obviously, I know you've got a family like me and you're – I got all that. But – think about what our lives would be like if we never found anything that was physical that wanted us to get better and bigger and stronger and kinder to people and kinder to yourself and coming up with all these crazy things we do that most people can't even fathom. We're, oh, well, I squat and do arms or I do arms and chest. I mean, you know what the short change you're giving yourself? I mean, and then you and I come on here, we talk about an exceptional article you wrote. And then we're talking about freezing our butt off and loving it, man. What? Tell me, man. What's better other than having children? That's about it. What? Seriously, what is better than what we do?
Oh, it's the greatest thing ever. And most people will never experience it because they never put themselves in that position.
No, not at all.
A primal need that we have inside to become who we are meant to become. So many people will go through this life passively. And
yep.
never reveal the strength that is not only inside them, the internal strength.
Yeah.
But they also won't build on that armor and ever have, you know, I love what Elliot Hulse, he has a great mantra he always talks
yeah.
about. He says, you know, your goal in life is to become the strongest version of yourself.
Yep.
And I think that is a great quote that he came up with. What is the strongest version of yourself? And so
yep.
many people will never experience that. But as
yep.
you do these things, there's inside of us this built-in gauge that when all of a sudden you exceed your limits
yep.
and you put a new goal in mind, there's something about the reward center of the brain and the body that just feeds off this stuff. When
yep.
you stand in ice cold water or you jump, like for now, because we have a pool in our backyard and it's ice cold, it's not
yeah.
easy to stretch. And at yep. night when I get done with a workout and I just jump in that freezing cold, and I even do it in the fall. I think she's
oh, nice.
One time in the 50s.
Yep.
So jump in there and you just stay in there for so much longer than you could, and you're shivering on an ice cold day.
Yep.
There's something about the reward center in your brain that says, wow, you did something you didn't think maybe that you could.
Yeah.
Now you're living at a whole nother level. Whether
and you know,
thing,
yeah.
Whatever it may be.
No, I agree. And, you know, it reminds me of that line in Rocky Balboa where he says to Paulie, the beast inside of me, and he's trying to have him explain it to him. Every male, even though they don't want to admit or they don't know, we all have a beast living in us. And the beast is like what you're talking about, the cold water, the different forms of training we do, which is different, obscure, the way we approach our lives, the way we conduct our lives. Every man has a beast, and you are obligated to bring it out, and a lot of them don't, and this is why there's a lot of guys that have no identity, don't know their identity, can't lead, are very perplexed about things, and basically are very confused of where their place is in the world. So all the guys out there and the ones that don't listen to the show, tell your friends, every one of you have a beast inside of you that you must bring out. You must bring out. And I mean in a constructive way. And if you tackle this stuff we're talking about, as John was saying, and I'll just kind of put it in my own context, you'll be the best that you can possibly be. And I think that is the most important thing that you could ever do, because you become a leader. You become someone that's thought of in a very high regard, someone that's respected, and most of all, you know how to take care of yourself and those around you that are very important. And then what you do is you take that knowledge and you give it. And when you give it, it's going to come back to you tenfold. So, John, I'll leave it there. Anything you want to add, you're welcome to. Give out your information, and I'll give mine out. And if you hang on the line for a minute, I'd appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, let me just touch on that as we get ready to go. If you don't unleash the beast that's within you through some kind of physical training, that beast will come out in unhealthy forms and addictions and relationships and everything, because that's why we have such a messed up group of masculinity mindsets out there, because they've never learned the right way to unleash the beast. And that need, the inner beast, is going to get the need met one way or another. It's either going to be through health, or it's going to be through addiction and messed up, you know, passive aggressive behavior. And so we encourage you, get out, unleash the beast, and do something radical with your training. Again, follow me on Facebook at John Bruni. You can follow me on Twitter at PressTheLimit.com. And also, I encourage you to get on PressingTheLimits.com, SubmitStrength.com, and learn how you can unleash the beast.
Oh, absolutely. Unleash that beast, man. You know, that's the thing. You got everything, John?
Absolutely.
Okay, sir. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by, this is what we are. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast and go out and go through all the podcasts we've got. I mean, you go out and do a search on anybody, whether it's John Bruni, David Whitley, Will Dinwiddie, Adam Glass, Mike Gillette. I mean, I can go down. We've got new people. We've got Steven Santangelo, Jed Johnson, Chris Vaccio, Roger LaPointe, you know, on and on and on. Russell Furr. I mean, I can't name all of them, all right? Go out and listen to these shows. I'm telling you, they're diamonds in the rough, every one of them. That means there is so many things in those podcasts. I guarantee you, you've probably missed half of them. That's what I was saying this morning to Dr. Bob Weil. It's like, I can go back and read a book, like I read Milo. How many times I read John's article? I can find something else all the time. How many times can you listen to something like this and find out more? I guarantee you could probably listen to it for a year straight and find more. So go out there and check that out. Also, FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Download the free ebook, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. Also, to our two big products, Strength Times Power Equals Success. And also, God, the Winner's Circle. Awesome, awesome stuff. Very reasonably priced, very thought-provoking. There's everything in there to get you anywhere you want to go. And obviously, they could all be updated big time because a lot of the stuff on there I'm doing now, obviously you need specialized equipment, but there's always a will, there's a way to find out somehow to do it. It's just great stuff. And we were talking before, what the hell would we be doing if we're not doing this? I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I'd probably be working on a bread truck or something. I have no idea. I don't have the temperament for that anyways, but I'm just saying, discover this stuff. Live it. I'm telling you, you will live better than anything, man. Get close to things, you know. Learn how to take a leap of faith. You know, stop playing it safe. Stop worrying about what everybody else is thinking. You have the ability inside to do great things, so do that. But go out and check these two products out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. And change your life. Also, too, FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. You know, the more you do that, the more we get out internationally, the bigger this show gets. And as you know, I've got big plans. I really would like to go live next year, have a call-in show. Imagine being able to talk to John and I, and who knows, maybe we have David Whitley on with us, or Bill Crawford. How would you like to talk to the three of us? And, I mean, you're going to get time to talk, too. So the bigger we get, the more revenue we bring in here, the quicker we grow. And I'm telling you right now, you have no idea what I plan on doing with this show. And the things that we're attaching to it, it is going to be phenomenal. I can't wait to see the next year where we're going to be at. So go out for that. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like John and I to do, Fiorella Barbell, at NICAP.R.com, and I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give words of inspiration, hope. You know, we talked here. You could say five words to somebody and change their life. So that's what we do here. You should do that too. It's very important. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get for that day. Also, too, if you're going to lift today, bend it, break it, lift it, squat it, press it, push it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel stone crusher says, domination and blood red on both sides. We are domination. We clear cut our own path. We don't follow anybody's. And as everything I say at the end has this, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Dominate everything you do. Obliterate those goals and be ready for the next one. And the dent is very important. Even when you've had those off days, put the biggest dent in whatever it is and let it know you're coming back to take it. Very, very important. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to the show from the very beginning, who's been my guest, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. I thank you for that compliment. It's one of the greatest things we've ever gotten, and we will say that for the next 30 years. I'm telling you, it's beautiful stuff. John, thank you for being on the show. Obviously, all I can say is the shows with everybody are just – I fathom to think how much bigger and better we're going to get, but I know we're going to because that's the way we all work. So thank you for being on the show, sir.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Mine too. All right, before we sign off, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 of your friends because we're coming for you either way. So for John Bruni, who will be on with us in July, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening, and go out and really set the world on fire. It's very important. We need you to do that. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.